Hello, Georgette.
Oh! Michelle, is that you? Hi! Hi, I didn't see you there.
Oh my God. Do you know what? It's actually the second time you can see my face.
I love it. Under the jaw.
The chucky neck.
I mean, I'd never judge you, Michelle, of course, but I prefer to see the eyes about the face.
I don't know. The chucky neck's got its merits.
Do you think?
Nobody
wants
that.
No, nobody. People are paying a lot of money to get rid of a chucky neck these days, Mish.
If I had it, I'd pay. I'd pay top dollar.
Top dollar.
I'd take it all.
Should we say that I'm Geordie and that you're Michelle and this is Eavesdropping, our weekly podcast where people listen in to us just shooting the shit about whatever we like. Facts, opinions, it's all up for negotiation.
Well, and do you know what? On that, I think I mentioned to you before. So everybody, we have a YouTube channel where we post all of Geordie's crazy videos of her dancing, but also we put the episodes so you can listen on YouTube.
Because you need to see a middle-aged woman dancing like a lunatic. It's very life-affirming.
It is. It makes you feel like you're really alive. Or not. And no, I love your dancing. I do love your dancing. But no, we had some comments from someone.
Five from the same person, I believe.
Oh, did you read them?
I did go and look at them when you told me they were there. It was from an episode, not from me dancing, thank God. Because I think if I'd seen five comments like that under my dancing, I'd probably be a little bit hurt and upset. But he obviously was a fan of Woody Allen, this chap.
He was pro Allen.
He may not have been a regular listener. I don't think he was. I don't think he's an eavesdropper, a regular eavesdropper. And he obviously didn't listen to us at the beginning when we said this is all based on a documentary that we watched, four-part documentary. And
that we're sorry for any mistake.
Yeah.
Which I immediately then made a mistake.
He didn't care about that. And if he'd bothered to listen to the end, because I think he got 25 minutes into our hour-long episode and then said, I cannot bear to listen to another word of this. Sorry, girls, you've lost me. Peace, he said at the end.
No, and he said, you girls, stop spreading your lies.
And then he said, peace at the end.
Peace. Yeah.
So just to soften the blow.
It was a very passive-aggressive piece, I would say.
If he'd bothered to listen to the end, he would have heard us saying, well, we don't actually know. You know, Woody Allen wasn't there to comment, so we don't know what his side of the story is.
But ultimately...
Everyone's got their own
side.
That's
a lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a lesson. You've got to listen all the way through.
That's your lesson.
Listen all the way through.
That is your lesson for life. We don't need to learn any lessons, do we, Michelle? We can say, this is our podcast. And do you know what? It is really good for us to just be able to talk like this uninterrupted. Because imagine if that man was standing next to us in the queue at Sainsbury's shouting at us. How dare you, girl? I mean, that would just ruin our flow, wouldn't it?
Might be tempted to give him a slap.
Or you wouldn't raise your hand to a stranger, would you?
I don't know.
Brawler.
It's been done
She's
before.
She's a brawler.
It's been done before.
So, Michelle, what's new in your world? What's happened this week? Apart from obviously the big highlight every Sunday night, Line of Duty, apologies to anyone who A, doesn't care, or B, is watching it and doesn't want us to spoil anything, because we won't. We wouldn't do that.
We won't spoil. But I have to say, I could sleep better last night. There was no crazy cliffhanger. I am worried, but it was more I wanted to slap the face. See, I'm a brawler. I wanted to slap the face of Patricia Carmichael.
I can't stop watching her.
Smug.
She's great.
Smug.
I love to watch that
I
smile. Ooh, she must love doing that.
I can't stand it.
The actress must love
it gets under my skin. Oh, now I wish you could see Geordie's face right now.
Perhaps I'll do a video of Pat's face.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But I can't stand her smug face. I can't stand her. I think I said this to you before. She must be the most hated woman on TV.
Oh,
right,
but she's
now.
So adorable, though.
You are.
She's
joking.
A cute-faced, lovely lady, I think. No, but obviously, she's a very good actor, and she's probably a really nice lady in real life.
But anyway, the world's opening up.
Finally, thank God.
Have you been to the pub? Were you one of those ones
Oh yes, I have been to the pub.
In a parka, drinking your pint with ice crystals forming on
freezing
your hands.
The tits off.
Yeah, we can eat on terraces now.
Good.
So. It felt normal. Which is good.
Great.
Normal's all you can hope for right now.
Hey, Mish, have you got any shout arts? Shout out.
You're getting a shout out.
Oh, yes. New listener, yes. Hello, Wiz. Thanks for listening.
Wiz.
She's a friend who we know, who is a friend actually of our friend.
Oh,
Libby.
Yes.
Has Libby even listened yet?
I doubt
yet?
She has. So you don't get a get a shout out. Wiz can have one. I've got another European listener that I'd like to give a shout out to.
Shout out.
I did my toilet cleaning video where I described all the different ways that you can listen to a podcast.
I love those marigolds, by
they're,
the way.
They're very similar to the colour of my hands, so I won't be, and they're very tight. I won't be wearing those again. But I had a lovely listener write in and say that she listened to the podcast whilst on her run. And
oh, what a great idea.
That is the beautiful and very talented Fran Ray. She's a musician and she's based in France. And they do every Friday night, her and her partner Limmy do the most wonderful musical set from their living room or somewhere, I think it's somewhere beautiful anyway, called Deuxième Vague. And you can find that on Facebook. So check that out, people. It's a lovely Friday night thing to do. So that's the shout out.
That's so nice. Oh, well, that's very nice. That's very nice. I bet she's fit too if she's running.
Yes, that's going to keep her fit.
Running's not
We are going to keep those.
Are you a runner?
God, no. I mean, you won't even see me running for a bus or my life. Maybe you'll see me run for my life, but that's it. I had to tell some people out the front of my daughter's school that because they said, oh, how was your run this morning? I was like, what? About two or three people said, oh, we all saw you running this morning. So I've got a doppelganger. I think I've spoken about
this. You have mentioned this before.
One of the dog walkers said, not running today. And I was like, no, you're one of many people who think that you've seen me running. And I can't believe that you did that poor woman who looks like me running. He said, that's really weird that it's not you, because I said to her, where's your dog today or something, or hi Geordie, and she waved back and said hi. So I was sure it was you.
she's stealing your life, but
she's a much fitter version.
Well, or maybe not.
Well, she is, because she's
maybe
running.
She's at the beginning of her fitness journey.
She's
but
getting around, this woman. She's been getting around.
Well, don't give her your date of birth or credit card details, because it may end up.
She'll have my husband next.
So just circling back, actually, to last week's episode on Alan V. Farrow, yeah. I ended up re-looking at my research and realizing there are all these bizarre things.
How much you got wrong?
No. Yeah, Mario Hemingway. She is a very interesting character. So obviously, we were talking about her last week when we spoke about Mario Hemingway playing Woody Allen's teenage lover in Manhattan. So I just wanted to join a couple of dots because it's interesting. I didn't realize, but Dre Hemingway, who was sort of an it model a few years ago, is Mariel Hemingway's daughter.
I would imagine she would have been one of them, because there's Margot and Mariel. Margot died tragically, didn't she? She was the older sister that was... I think I heard a podcast or read an article about her recently. She's fascinating.
So Margot was the older sister of Mariel. She was one of the most high-profile supermodels of the 70s, and she was...
Drop dead.
Yeah, she...
No, Michelle, I mean drop dead. No, I'm joking. No. Carry on.
She had all that blonde hair. She had the blue eyes. She had the freckles. Yeah. She had the, like, chunky eyebrows. And I read that she was the first model to ever get a $1 million modeling contract. And it was for Babe perfume.
Babe? Like the pig?
Yeah! But before, and it, because it was for Fabergé. Now, whatever happened to Fabergé?
Did they do It's Cold as Ice?
Ooh. No, they didn't, but they should have.
4711 to me. Do you remember that one? 4711.
I only remember Cold as Ice.
Charlie. That was another one.
Yeah. Charlie, yes. All of those. They're all gone.
Yeah, thank
and
God.
And Babe was one of those ones that, like, were off the is off the shelves now. You can't find it. But, she was at the height of her modeling career in 1976 when she did this dodgy film called Lipstick, which by all accounts was a bit crap. But, and actually the subject matter is...
Is it Moida?
Moida. Well, no, it's rape.
Oh, that's right.
It's grim. It's grim. And it was kind of like a revenge thriller where Margot's character is raped by her sister's music teacher. Yeah. And when they were doing the casting, Margot said, hey, well, why doesn't my sister, who's 7 years younger, play the little sister? So thing was that this was meant to be Margot's big breakout role. And in fact, Mario was the one that got all the attention. She got nominated for a Golden Globe, and that's how she got the part in Manhattan,
that
the
bitch.
Woody Allen film. And I didn't sort of realize this as well, but they are the granddaughters of Ernest Hemingway. Yes. See, I didn't realize For Whom the Bell Tolls, Farewell to Arms.
I knew this.
And yes, but awful. They apparently, well, not Mario, but Margot was apparently sexually abused by the father. Not the grandfather, not by Ernest, but by her father, Jack.
Yeah, I think this is in an episode of You Must Remember This, that really good old Hollywood Legends podcast. Karina Longworth, love it.
I think Jen was listening to that. I think she told me to.
If you're into that kind of golden era of Hollywood, which I am, it turns out.
Well, this isn't golden era. This is 70s.
Well, that's part of it. That's still in it.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
It's
okay.
Family. It's a series that she did on, I think, family heritage and things. And that was a really fascinating episode.
Yeah, okay. I'll have to listen. But you had mentioned that Margot had sort of a
drug problem.
A drug problem and a horrible death. And what happened was her modeling career went down the toilet after she had a ski accident and put on loads of weight. And she had a lot of mental health issues, and she committed suicide by taking an overdose on July 2nd. Some people say it's July 1st, but the family say it's July 2nd, which is actually the death day of Ernest Hemingway.
Oh. Ah, the
so
curse.
So she killed herself.
Curse
it's this curse.
Yeah.
And then Mario went on to struggle with mental health issues as well. Mm-hmm. And she did crazy things, like she said – she didn't eat fat for a year, and her skin was cracking like all over.
You need your fats, girls.
You do. You've got to have that avocado.
Pork rinds.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Maybe not that one. Let's stick with the good fats. But now she's a yoga instructor.
Oh, good on her.
And yeah, and she had two kids with this documentary filmmaker called Stephen Chrisman, who, when I was doing the research, he made a film called Blood Money, Switzerland's Nazi Gold, which I think sounds amazing.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm going to try and dig that out of the archives. Yeah, it sounds really interesting. And both her daughters, Dree and Langley Fox, were both models and had reasonably successful careers.
Is Langley Fox called Langley Fox Hemingway? That's a lot of words.
Well, I think she's actually Langley Fox Chrisman Hemingway.
Oh, jeez.
But now she just calls herself Langley Fox.
So it's Langley Fox is like a double-barreled first name.
Well, I think, no, she calls herself Langley Fox. I think she's
Langley?
Making out like her first name is Langley, the second name is Fox.
So like Michelle Ann or whatever it is. Michelle Teresa, if that was your name.
I don't know what Fox is.
Is that her middle name? Is that her?
I don't know. I don't know if it's her middle name, but she's going by her, so I guess it was her middle name.
Or is it her double-barreled first name, like Bethany Ann? Or...
like Cher. But no, but she's not like Cher. It's not like she's just...
like Cher's not a double-barreled first name.
No, but it's a first name only. Right. Double-barreled or not, Cher is a first name. Yeah. And I think Langley Fox is not... there's no hyphen here. It's not Langley Fox, no surname. I think she's Langley
Fox. We just called her Cher, but it's Cher.
I call her Cher.
It's Cher.
I think Cher is American. Australians say Cher.
I know, they do say Sher. Yeah.
They do. What,
it's short for Sherilyn.
Oh.
Did you not know that?
No, I didn't.
I've got so many interesting facts in my head. I'm so good at a pub quiz.
You really are. And actually, awkward segue, that brings us to our topic today, which is basically no topic. This is... the eavesdropping potluck party.
Potluck party!
Whee! I love that.
Pop. So this is Australian style, which means bring a plate. Don't you love those Aussie parties where they say bring a plate? That basically means turn up to my house. I'm not doing anything for you. You have to bring the food. Somebody else is going to bring more food. Somebody else over there is going to bring all the booze. I just sit here in my own backyard and you bring me all the food and all the booze and I have a great time.
I think that sounds perfect.
Yeah. We're bringing a plate. We're bringing what we fancy. Well, normally it would be back in the Australian childhood days, it would have been a plate of fairy bread on a paper plate with some Glad film, Glad wrap over the top.
Or
chocolate crackles.
Chocolate crackles. Yeah. Or
Honey Joys.
I love the honey joy. I still make them.
Oh, I wish I had that recipe. I'd love to make honey joys.
Or if you're going to a barbecue, you would bring a salad that had to have slices of beetroot and oranges.
Oh, yeah, the slice
oranges
of orange.
Cut in half. Yep. Yuck. That was a Jen special. Yuck.
Sorry, Jen. Oh, rack off, you dag.
Piss off.
No work and furries.
You're fucked.
See you next Tuesday.
Give me black dog up, yeah.
So who's going to go first in the potluck party? Who's going to bring their first dish to the table, to the long table in the middle of the garden?
Well, I'm going to bring...
with the paper tablecloth. Everything's very low budget.
So I'm going to bring my paper plate with flowers, doily, fake doily pattern on it, Facebook ads.
Mm.
I want to talk about Facebook ads.
Okay.
Every third post on my Facebook is a Facebook ad.
Yeah.
And look, I'm a sucker for a Facebook ad because I always get targeted with beauty devices.
Oh my
and
God.
I buy all of them.
Do you
I
ever?
Buy all of them.
I mean, all your posts gets directed to my house, so I know.
So I bought the gold vibrating stick thing.
Where's that
Have you
for?
Seen that one?
What's that
Well,
for?
It's all meant for anti-aging. You put it on your face and it's meant to lift and tighten and tone all of that.
And did it work?
Chucky neck. No.
Right.
Of course not. I mean, I, do you know what?
Did you use it?
I'm so fickle. I use it for a couple of days and then I lose interest.
Okay.
And then I bought the vibrating paw shovel.
They're all vibrating for some reason, Michelle.
I know. I don't know what
the
that is.
The paw shovel. Then, talk to me about that, though. Did that work?
No. Because
you don't want to shovel into your paws. You don't want to make
no,
a big
not
paw
really.
Even bigger, do you?
Well, it's
digging
well,
into
it's
it.
Meant to. I mean, look, I've watched the YouTube videos of people using the paw shovel. It looked pretty good, but actually it doesn't dig in the way you want it to. Yeah. And then I did see the paw Hoover. Have you seen that
Yeah,
one
I've got that.
On Facebook? See, I read about that and actually... people say it works, but also I've seen horrific cases of people with basically love bite hickeys
yes.
all
well,
over
I,
their face.
Yes, well, I did get that the first couple of times I used
oh,
it.
Oh, God.
So you have to be careful, and you do need to go into the bath or shower beforehand and really open up those pores and then get straight out and get sucking.
Right. Okay. Should I buy it? Is it a thumbs up or a
it's
thumbs
It's a thumbs
down?
Up from me, and I use it once every week or 2 weeks.
Okay. And you've noticed a difference?
Yeah, on the day and the day after. In fact, like it's been almost a week after since I did all of this area, really dug into it. And I had a big red nose. I had a big red nose for 2 days. No one said anything, which is fine.
They just talked about you behind your back.
What's with the alcoholic nose? Big bulbous red
I've got
nose.
A bit worried about Geordie. I think she's been drinking too much.
Yeah, look at her nose. It's gone all bulbous and red. I love it. I do use it. The batteries are still going since I bought it like a year ago. I invested in a lot of...
Oh, you were an early adopter.
I invested in a lot of beauty products during lockdown. I just thought now's the time to improve myself. Eyebrow dye, eyelash dye, the vibrating... Oh, it's not vibrating. The sucking paw thing.
Yep.
You bought us that wonderful device, which is an electronic shock device, and I haven't been able to use it since the first day.
Do you know what? That was on Jen's recommendation. It is an acupuncture pen, which you can also repurpose for wrinkles.
I don't know if you should use it on your face.
Well, after you said that, I've never used it. It's still sitting in the packet because you scared the shit
out of
me.
Well, give it a go. You'll get even more scared.
Well, I think we should do a YouTube video where we're both giving that
Let's
a red hot
do it.
Go.
Jesus. Then there's the light therapy one that you bought us, and I haven't used that yet either.
Oh, well, you have to. You must. Okay, we'll do two videos.
Are you
we'll
using
do
it?
The acupuncture when I remember, yes. Okay. And it is good, actually. It's very gentle.
What
on the
colour
skin.
Do you use?
Red.
For what?
Red. That is for tightening and pore shrinkage.
Okay, that's good. Maybe I'll do that after I suck all the shit out of my face.
and then I bought those suction cups for your cellulite.
No, I don't know.
Have you seen those?
No.
And you also get a couple for like under the eye bags and for the you know, saggy jowls. But I'm not sure. I think maybe it's making my cellulite on my thighs worse.
Yeah, you're bringing
Jury's
it up.
Out on that. Yeah. And then what else did I buy? Oh, eye rollers. Oh, I bought those earring backs that are meant to make you droop your earrings all tight on your ear.
Oh, yeah.
Dodgy. Don't work. Okay. No. And then I bought those in-ear things for tinnitus. don't work.
I'm not going to go there.
I bought weird soap from China that's meant to like restore your hair follicles so your grey hair's gone.
What was in that?
Fuck knows. But I got a warning from Swiss Post saying this is illegal to import. But they like delivered it anyway.
Probably because they had all sorts of animal products and...
Oh, don't even. No, please don't say that. No, it's all natural, I'm sure. Yeah. But now I'm getting ads for curly hair products. How the fuck does Facebook know that I have naturally curly hair?
I'd love to know. Nobody how they knows know things. Too. Do you know what I'm getting at the moment?
What?
Dungeons and Dragons ads.
Well, one of your kids have been on your Facebook, that's why.
No.
No?
They haven't.
Do you think they're listening to
me? They're listening.
Podcast?
They're listening to me when I talk about it because I've got all my devices in front of me when I record the podcast, and I've spoken twice now about my eldest son's love of Dungeons and Dragons.
Now you're getting all the targets. Well, so I've had loads of other ones. So mainly for curly hair, neck tension, how does Facebook know?
Right.
And immunosupplements for like gut health, something for like dermadry, hyperhidrosis. That's where you have excess sweating. Fuck you, Facebook. Seriously, that's not very nice.
Do you know what I did once with my friend Nina?
What?
Because we spoke about this and we always have our phones in front of us when we chat. And I said, if I was to say suddenly...
Condoms!
No, it was wetting yourself or, you know, female... What do you call it when you piss your pants?
Oh, yeah.
Bladder, like incontinence and bladder control pants. I said it about 5 times. She started getting ads like the next day.
Oh, my God. It's true. They're listening. They're listening.
Yeah.
Well... I had a really interesting one for earthing sheets.
What's that?
So they're bed sheets that...
That's not a weighted blanket then.
No, it's not weighted. Oh. No, it's like you make your bed with it and you, it's got silver like woven into the bed sheets to make it conductive. Mm. And I mean, I'm actually really into the idea of this, but basically...
Because you need more electricity in between the bed sheets.
fuck you. No, I don't. Actually, I was meant to. I wanted to say fuck you, Facebook, but it ended up just coming out as fuck you. Anyway.
And fuck you too.
Fuck you. Well, who needs electricity if we're going to be doing all of that fuck you-ing? Anyway, so the way these earthing bed sheets work is you just make your bed like normal, but you plug it into the wall socket, but it only has one pin and it connects to the earthing, like to the earth pin in your socket. No, but there's no electricity being conducted. And what it does, it connects to the earthing rod in your home. That all homes have an earthing rod because that's how electricity stays grounded.
Where's my rod?
Well, it's buried.
Oh.
It's buried, but all your electricity is connected to this rod because that's why you have... like the electricity pins and then you've got the earth pin.
Okay.
Right? So this sheet, you plug it in and it only connects to the earth pin. And what it's meant to do is, so, you know, before we had modern lives, people were spending a lot of time barefoot with their feet touching the earth. We don't do that anymore. Yeah. So this is the modern way of grounding yourself.
Rather than just going outside and taking your shoes off and sitting in the garden for 10 minutes or walking around.
Yes, but in the middle of winter, you can't do that. Come on.
Okay.
You can't.
I guess.
You're going to freeze your tits off and your feet. So, you know, so it, and there's actually research on this. It's meant to give you more energy, better sleep, help with your aches and pains. Sleep and heal is the tagline for this one.
What? Sleeping heal?
Sleep and heal.
Oh, sleep and heal. Okay.
Yes. So I tagged my friend Neil.
Neil? Sleep and heal, Neil.
Sleep and heal, Neil. I tagged him in the ad and said, what do you think? And I did that because he's a scientist. And it's actually embarrassing because I thought he was a geothermal scientist.
Whoops.
Yep. Apparently, he's the program manager of the Space Technology Future Science Platform at the CSIRO.
Wow, which sounds, Neil.
I know. It sounds so fucking fancy.
You're
and
a bit
when I
smart,
asked him,
aren't you?
Yeah. So he's all looking at stuff in space. And I said to him, are you looking for aliens? And he said they weren't.
Oh, why not, Neil? Why not? Get in touch. Write in.
So, but he did say they were building new telescopes and that they were finding all sorts of new things. Quote from him. Intriguing. Don't know what these
Can I say something quickly? Wasn't there a news flash yesterday saying that aliens, I think it was Russell Brand highlighted it actually, that aliens are real and the government are now going to release some information about what they know. Did really? I see that somewhere? I think just in passing, and I was just too busy to stop and read the article.
If that, if you find that article, send it to me, because right. maybe that's an, that's a future episode.
All right.
But what Neil also said was he reckons that given how many stars are out there, the probability of there not being aliens is low. And there's a lower chance that we are alone than that there is life out there.
Hang on. Wait. Say that again.
So basically... it's a double negative. Basically, yeah. what he's saying is the probability of us being alone is low.
Uh-huh. So does he speak in riddles like that all the time or just to you?
Just to me, probably. No, it's because he's all clever. He's using all clever language. He's a brainiac. When I said to Neil, what do you think about this earthing blanket? His first reply was, placebo effect is strong. And
God, he sounds like a Jedi.
He is a bit. And the placebo effect, which we all kind of know, it's basically when your brain convinces your body that a fake treatment is the real thing, right? And it's always used in like blind medical testing, all that kind of thing, where they're testing new drugs. But anyway, it's a powerful thing. Placebo effect is powerful. And it's more than just positive thinking. It's actually like creating connections between the brain and the body. And look, the placebo effect is not going to ever cure, like, whatever disease you have. But it does make you feel better. And, you know, because you believe you're getting the medicine. And that research has proven it's a thing. So anyway, I looked at a government health study from the UK. And they looked into the effects of grounding on wound healing. Mm. They had this picture of some poor old lady's foot, which had this kind of hole in it. And it... her foot looked dead, a bit like yours in that video. And
thanks.
And it was amazing. After just 1 week of being on this blanket, and this wound had not healed in years, 1 week of being on this these earthing sheets, she had better colour in her skin, the wound was healing. Oh. It was remarkable. And they say, and this is government study, that grounding appears to improve sleep, normalizes your day-night cortisol rhythm, it reduces pain, reduces stress, you get better digestion, better metabolism, more relaxation, and it speeds up wound healing. I think it sounds fucking amazing.
Wow.
I'm going to spend my 200 francs and buy that.
Whoa.
I know, they're not cheap. Okay, they're not cheap.
You do that and I'll just go camping in the summer. I'm going to spend all of the summer down in the caravan.
Yeah, but if you've got shoes on, it doesn't work. You have to have the bare feet.
I'll take my shoes off. I'll take my shoes off, Michelle.
So that's my first potluck right there. Earthing blankets.
Doris. Cloris. Maureen. Doreen. Leslie. Wesley.
Tracy
and Stacy,
Daniel,
Spaniel,
Bill,
eavesdropping.
Yeah, can I give you a potluck?
Yes, luck? Please.
All right, because you said we're doing it on love and marriage.
No, I.
And now you've changed the goalposts yet again.
Well, I said we were going to do like random potluck to start. Sorry.
Random. But we did say it was going to be about love and marriage
I have
as
got
well.
Some
so
as well.
I. All of my mine is on love and marriage, okay? So I've got this story from the Daily Star online.
I thought we were doing love and relationships.
Oh, love and relationships, a.k.a. marriage. I've put marriage in
okay,
there.
Okay, all right.
Mine's about marriage, okay? Yeah. No, it's not all about marriage. Love and relationships, etc. So this is, I saw something in the 14 Times from October 2020.
What is
and
that?
It's a supernatural magazine about the weird and the wonderful.
Okay.
It's great. You need to read it. It's so good. Anyway, they got this story from the Daily Star online, and it's about a chap from New Jersey in the United States. His name is Gary DeNoia. He's an Italian-American who works in the hotel industry. And he says he's been dating a ghost called Lisa for 2 years, right?
What the actual F?
He's 36 years old. Did I say
yes.
that? Yeah. No, did I?
Yeah. think so.
I don't think I told you how old he is. He's 36 years old, and he says that the relationship is... This is in October 2020. He said the relationship was on the rocks due to his fears that his girlfriend was cheating. And he says...
Oh, yeah, my God.
He says... At first, we spent every day together for a month. Jersey City was an epicenter early on during this pandemic, especially where we live. And I'm by nature a very anxious person. On top of not being able to see my family or nieces, I was feeling very afraid. I'm usually the strong one in the relationship, but I was just too overwhelmed to hold it together. The pandemic was getting on top of him, he's trying to say. In that month, Lisa was my rock. She'd help me cook and fold laundry.
What?
Watch, I know. Watch loads of TV. Okay, I get that. And obviously, have sex.
Oh, my God.
Come on, dude. Come on. I think we call that something else.
How do you have ghost relationship? How does a ghost fold your clothes? How did they meet?
That, well, I'll get onto that. It was fun, the sex, but exhausting.
She's a goer.
Because he goes on to say, I'm not in great shape, so it was hard to keep up. Being on strict lockdown, we had to find creative ways to be sexually adventurous. Oh, now, strict lockdown, what has that got to do with being sexually adventurous? How does that change?
Well, you can't go out and shop for toys, I guess. You can't build. Well,
no, you're not online.
You can't build that GIMP dungeon. I don't know. I don't know what he means. I don't know. You have to ask him.
Oh, dear. So he's worried that she's cheating. And he said, this past month, she's out all the time. Never tells me where she's going. She just says she's going out with friends.
What a bitch.
She could, well, she could be anywhere at any time in any dimension, really, couldn't she? She could be with anyone, he says. I've always felt secure in our relationship, but lately we haven't been having much sex.
Oh, my God. It's a telltale sign. Telltale sign. It is.
I'm worried. Yes, it is. I'm worried that she's cheating on me. She says I'm being paranoid. I mean, I'm not crazy, am I? It just doesn't make any sense. Well, yes, Gary, you are crazy. He says, I can understand wanting space, but something just feels off. So
she's a ghost.
Yeah. I think you're a bit off, darling.
She's dead.
Yes. He says he does speak to family and friends about this, but they're too stressed out about the pandemic to pay much heed.
They're fobbing you off, mate.
Yeah, they're fobbing you off. Now, that was the first thing that I read. But then I noticed that the Daily Star Online did catch up again with Gary later on that year in December in 2020. And he explained how he actually met Lisa in a restaurant when he was dining alone 2 years before.
What, she just came up and said, hi, is this seat free?
Well.
Can I buy you a drink?
The couple crossed paths when Lisa the ghost recommended the risotto to Gary. The risotto's good. Pardon?
Oh, hang my on. God.
Weird, I know. He said, I'll visit my parents over the holidays, but Lisa will stay at home. I'm not ready to introduce her to my parents yet. She understands, he says. She understands, but it certainly has put a strain on our relationship. She wants to meet my parents.
Oh, my God. Okay. She's desperate to meet the parents.
Yes. He says, I just have a feeling they won't respond well to it if I do. Hopefully in the new year, I'll be able to feel comfortable enough to take that step. And he said he's starting to introduce her to more and more of his friends, which has had mixed results. Most people are initially confused or they think I am joking, but once they see how happy she makes me, they're totally cool with it.
Oh, and are they thinking of starting a family?
Well, he does say our sex life is ever evolving. It gets better and better. There's always new sensations, different vibrations.
No!
He's been getting into your beauty tool cupboard there, Michelle, which I guess is the best way to describe it. It's like your whole body is having sex. And since Lisa is a spirit, she's more flexible, which allows us to experiment with all sorts of new positions.
No!
Oh, God, Gary.
What?
Anyway.
The hell?
He says over the holidays he'd like to go caroling with Lisa as she has the better voice. And he wants to show her the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center and take her to Disneyland because she's never been. Now, at this point, I'm thinking, you're having a laugh. No, this isn't real. It was a slow news day for the Daily
April
Mail
1st?
Online. Yeah, exactly. It was December. But so anyway, there's lots of pictures of him. He reminds me, have you ever seen Arrested Development? He reminds me of Buster, the one with the one arm with the hook for a hand. Buster. He looks like Buster. Yeah. And there's lots of pictures of him with his arms around no one.
Oh, my God.
Pointing, pouting, like he's kissing her.
Oh, Jesus.
A picture of him kissing his ghost. And then there's a random shot of him slightly out of center in his kitchen. I mean, I don't know what that one's about. No word of how she became a ghost or what era she's from. She could be in crinolines for all we know.
And also, how did she die?
How did she die? Exactly.
I want to know that.
At best, he's joking. At worst, he's a deranged fantasist. But that doesn't deter the Daily Star Online, who once again caught up with Gary in February 2021.
Ooh.
And he told them of his plans for Valentine's Day. So he's a consistent contributor. The pair are planning to Netflix and chill before having a threesome, Michelle.
What? With another ghost or with a human?
Yep.
Yep.
Their plans are to watch their favourite movie, which is, guess what? It stars Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore and it features Whoopi Goldberg. That's right.
Ghost.
Yes. Yep. Then they'll make love on a bed of roses. Who does that?
Ouch.
For God's sake. So basically, it's just going to be him rolling around on a bed
on
of roses.
Rose petals,
he says, yeah, exactly. Lisa met a fellow ghost called Sadie, who's up for it. The only thing is Gary's not allowed to kiss her on the lips.
Oh, it's going too far. It's one step too far in this ghost
threesome.
So
after, yes, exactly.
Out.
After all this nonsense, I looked at Gary's Instagram account and it's called Paradenoia. Because remember, his name's Gary Denoia.
Oh, Jesus.
Paradenoia.
Okay.
There's a meme in there which says, black pants in my 20s, pants being trousers, not underwear. Yeah. Black pants in my 20s, solid fashion choice. In my 30s, solid way to hide accidental pee stains.
No! Oh, he's a catch. He's a catch.
He's on IMDb for a few movies I've never heard of. And he has a podcast called The Drunken Menace Podcast, where he talks about ghost orgies. So I'm assuming he is a comedian of sorts.
Yes, he must be.
And this is all made up. So I'm sorry to waste your time, listeners, if you did think that...
I thought he and Lisa were really having ghost sex because we actually did cover this in a previous episode where this woman
did
have ghost sex.
And, yeah.
And was it Phil and Holly?
It was Phil. Holly can't be around for anything ghostly. She gets very frightened on this morning. But listen, I've got one other quick one before we carry on with yours because I was so disappointed about that. Another one that I found in the 14 Times, but then was also in the Metro, which is the free paper you used to get on the train. This is from 10th of April in 2019. Okay. It's a lady called Felicity Cadlick Rossi, who's 20. Is she 20? I think she's a bit older than that. Anyway, doesn't matter how old she is. She's been in an emotional and intimate relationship for 7 years with the most distressing looking zombie doll you have ever seen. It's around 4 foot high.
Oh, my height.
It's got a child. It looks like a child. Yeah, a bit like you. Childlike build with a mop of brown hair like a Beatles haircut. And the jaw appears to have come away in a blood-stained fashion.
No!
The doll's name is Kelly Rossi and the doll is 37 years old.
Ew.
Felicity married the doll and has even consummated the union.
She married the doll.
She married the doll. And a lot of her other dolls were there as guests. So there's a picture because in the background there's this other weird looking doll and I'm thinking, what the hell?
No.
She gets a lot of aggro because people think the doll is a child.
Ew.
So she gets lots of people thinking she's like a paedophile with her arms around the doll in public.
She takes
stuff,
the doll out. This is not...
I'm assuming people see her in public with her doll,
her
wife.
She buys a second meal for the doll when they go to a restaurant.
I don't know.
I mean, that's just throwing good money away. Surely.
I know.
Fucking hell.
Well, she's living this life with her doll. She said she met Kelly when she was younger and Kelly was just a friend then. But it grew into a relationship. She said, like myself, Kelly aged with me and I've only ever seen her as an adult. She's never been a child in my eyes, although she is just a doll because, you know, people think she's with this child. I believe that the energy that Kelly has is that of an adult and that's what I love about her. Kelly was created as a Halloween doll and wasn't created to have any likeness to a child. She's just a zombie.
I'm sorry, it's a fucking doll. How is this doll aging? Like, this is just demented. What the hell?
I mean, I don't want to laugh at other people's lifestyles, lifestyle choices, but we are going to. I know that I had to get the police to check the situation. Now, this is after she was getting all the aggro about her being a paedophile.
Oh,
she had to go into the police station. Mm-hmm. And get photos taken with the doll.
Okay. Why?
Because she said she had a hard time being affectionate with Kelly. And this is where I'm wondering, is she being affectionate with Kelly in public? That's a bit weird. And how affectionate is she getting for people to get so upset?
Well, I mean, is she walking along holding hands? Because this doll can't walk.
Well, how can the doll walk? No, it doesn't. She must be dragging the doll. Maybe she's dragging this doll with a broken jaw along behind her.
And people are fucking terrified because they've got this, like, it's got this crazy jaw that's got blood dripping off it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
She said she went into a police station and had them take a photo with a statement confirming it was just a doll and posted it on public forums and stuff. And then she said, now that it's been confirmed, I want to be able to move on and enjoy our relationship and marriage. And at the wedding, Kelly was the groom because she takes the male role in their relationship. So she was dressed up in a suit because she's a tomboy.
Oh, okay. So I get...
Turns out...
Are they going to be babies? Huh? Are they going to be zombie babies?
I doubt it, Michelle. She's a doll, for God's sake. But anyway, Felicity's late father had gifted Kelly with the doll, age 13, because she was so into horror movies and stuff. So,
Jesus Christ, he did not know what he was letting himself in for.
Well, Felicity said she only started developing feelings for her when she was 16 and her father had died. So she turned to the doll for comfort. No.
Wow.
She says she loves Kelly for who she is and doesn't mind her not having a jaw. That's the least of your worries, lady.
Jesus. Well, blimey. People are strange.
It reminds me again of objectophilia or whatever it was, you know, when people fall in love with cash registers and whatnot.
Yeah, but this is sort of not human-like, but it is sort of not an inanimate object in that way. It's not like she's...
Did I read somewhere that somebody fell in love with their chandelier? Or was that hoarding? I can't remember. That was hoarding.
Oh, no. Oh, well, I love those stories, but they're fucking crazy.
So what else have you got to bring to the potluck party?
So I'm bringing a plate. I'm bringing a plate here of...
Is it a savoury plate or is it a sweet
plate? I'd say savoury. I'd say this is a savoury plate. It's false promise synchronicity theory.
What?
Yeah. False promise synchronicity theory. Basically, was it really meant to be?
Okay.
So when I was doing a little bit of research for this ep, because we had talked that it was going to be potluck, but with a vague theme of relationships. And so I came across this thing called false promise synchronicity theory, but the more I dug into it, seems it's not really a recognized theory as such. But I kind of...
So I think for our potluck, we have all been duped. We've both been duped, haven't we? All our research was wasted on someone having a laugh.
Well, yours for sure. But this is more, you know, it's not really a big theory that has a lot of science behind it or anything. But I kind of like the idea. So I just dug a little deeper into it. And what it basically means is... It's that when we sort of conflate a series of coincidences relating to how we met a romantic partner, and then we attribute the meaning or a meaning to it and feel like it was meant to be. But is it? Mm-hmm. And this really comes down to more sort of synchronicity. And scientists say that synchronicity is our brain's way of making order out of chaos, because we can't, you know, I mean, all of us have had some kind of weird coincidences happen, and it just seems so bizarre that we have to join the dots. We have to connect it. Otherwise, it just seems too random.
Well, it's happened to me, and I think it's happened to you as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And especially in a romantic setting.
Yeah.
So there's this psychiatrist, Bernard Beitman, who, in an article I read on discovermagazine.com, he said, at the time he commented he was a visiting psychiatry and neurobehavioral sciences professor at the University of Virginia and also a coincidence researcher. So that's actually a thing.
I love a coincidence.
It's a thing. It's amazing. So he says that synchronicities are indicators of an invisible network that connects everyone and everything. And he suspects that humans transmit some kind of unobserved energetic information, which other people then process or organize into emotion and behavior. So I think that's really interesting. Although he does say there is no evidence for this. It's just his, like, he just has a hunch.
He made
just,
it up.
It's his own
theory. He made up the job title. He made up the funding. It's all invented.
Yeah, but I do like the idea that there is this universal energy that we all sort of tap into and cause these, you know, convergences of bizarre coincidences.
Yeah. I've told you that before, haven't I? About this has been on the podcast before when I've said about crosswords. Mm. When you do a crossword in the morning, it's harder than it is in the afternoon. And some people say it's because most of the crosswords have already been filled out by then. So, oops, yes. Chang, did you hear that? That was my tambourine's under the chair. And that's because it's in the ether. You know, it's out there in the collective consciousness. The answers have been thought up.
Yeah, and look, I believe there's something in that. But like I said, he has no evidence for this. But it kind of makes sense. But like, you know, historically, there are other scientists that have had similar ideas. So there was this Austrian biologist, Paul Kammerer. He believed that coincidences arise out of unknown forces, and he called it seriality. And even Einstein commented, saying that his theory wasn't absurd. And in the 1950s, Carl Jung came up with his so-called synchronicity theory to describe bizarre occurrences. So, you know, it's enough. There is enough of this out there that people do feel like there has to be some kind of connection. And look, like we said, we've all had romantic moments where we've had so many coincidences that it's just felt like it was meant to be. You know, I think about why, and I think it's partly just a very human thing to want a story. You want a story behind how you met. You want it to feel special. You want it to be your own kind of personal fairy tale. I think, especially for people who are prone to magical thinking or who are looking for clues from the universe.
Or if you're in love already, because that's kind of like an elevated magical feeling anyway, isn't it?
And I think it's really easy to kind of, if you're looking for those clues, then you just kind of rely on these coincidences as kind of supernatural signposts that are pointing you to this path you're meant to take. And it is really exciting to sort of stack up all of these coincidences and then join the dots between it all and attach some kind of meaning to it that might not actually exist. And it's really seductive. It's a seductive feeling to feel like, well, this happened and it's meant to be. And
what's she on about?
What?
Huh? Silly bitch.
What? So there's this girl that I know, basically from childhood, actually. And her friends had gone on holiday and they had met some backpacker when they were on holiday. And, you know, and my friend, you know, didn't go on this holiday with them. And when they came back, they were showing all pictures of this like hot backpacker. And, you know, she thought nothing of it. You know, it was just some hot backpacker in a photograph. It was back when you would go to like Pixie Photos and get your photos done. So anyway, fast forward, what, maybe 10, 15 years, and she is at a gig and this guy comes up to her and says, I know you. And she's like, don't think so. And then there's something in her mind which thinks, you look really familiar. And anyway, somehow she connects this guy in the photo that her friends had shown her 15 odd years earlier with the guy standing before her, and he was completely different. He had no hair, and you know, in the original photo, this guy had dreadlocks and he was like gorgeous. This is like the older dude with no hair. And they ended up having this relationship, and it was all of these things, because then they were looking through photo albums. Turns out my friend had been in a pub and he was sitting at the table behind her, was in a photograph with her parents. And it was just bizarre. All of these coincidences stacking up. And they had a very quick union. They got married.
Yeah.
But actually didn't work out. And all of these coincidences were not a signpost to him being the one. And I think that you can get really caught up with these things. And
so why are those things put there in the first place, Michelle? Because that sounds very similar to something that I've experienced.
Okay.
Why are those things there in the first place?
But
why?
Does they have to?
If it's not the one.
Well, I know, but that's the whole point. Like, maybe this is this false promise synchronicity. Mm. It's it's us. We're attaching some kind of meaning to these experiences, which really aren't connected, you know. We're the ones putting the magical thinking, oh, it must be, it has to be, this is meant to be, it's destiny, it's fate. You know, we're the ones putting the meaning onto these coincidences.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in terms of love and relationships and in anything really, I think we just need to be a little more selective.
Less invested.
Less invested.
Less led by coincidence and more led by led by our actual feelings and listen to your gut.
And I think on some level too, we love the idea of not having to choose. We feel like fate has chosen for us. And that is really intoxicating, because, you know, you're putting your hands in the, you know, the fate of the gods, so to speak. And and we want to believe that there is a higher power, like, divining us into the right path.
Not only that, if, you know, our generation grew up on fairy tales. We grew up, you know, our parents were boomers. They were very much part of a nuclear family, although divorce was also quite rife, you know, as when we were children. It's all about meeting the one, isn't it? The one.
We were told
that there was a soul, you know, soulmates, where there's a soulmate. Is he your soulmate?
That was in every Dolly quiz.
Exactly. You know, you're supposed to be finding your soulmate, your one. Yep. And when your relationships didn't actually match up to that, you must have, you just go away thinking, well, that wasn't the one. But there is the one out there, still I haven't met him yet.
And I think we all want to believe that we have this fairy tale story in our lives. It's just out there waiting for us. We just have to know where it is, you know. Yeah. I remember actually there was a story about, I don't know if I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but there was this guy, and he lived in a quite remote part outside of Canberra, just this remote kind of village. And this girl knocked on his door one night, rainy night. Oh, my car's broken down and I don't know where I am. I don't know what's going on. And he let her in. Anyway, they both felt like it was such a coincidence that, they ended up together. But they loved having this story fuel, like, their romance. Like, oh, it was meant to be. Imagine if you hadn't have been on that rainy night that day. And, you know, even the story of how Andreas and I got together is filled with bizarre coincidences. You know, it's about, you know, I mean, I had booked onto a surf camp in Morocco to do a travel story. And Morocco experienced this super crazy flood, and I had the press trip cancelled, but my editor was still saying, well, we need a story. So I had to scrabble around, and then I found this surf camp in America, and that's where I met a Swiss German girl, and, you know, everything went on from that. But it feels, I mean, and I can't even tell you the thousands of coincidences that have led to Andreas and I getting together, but one small thing, that small thing had been different, my whole life would be different, because I would never have met this guy in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, you can attribute this. And obviously, like, I love my romance story and how I got together. But I also have to think, well, is this my brain wanting to think it's this magical fairy tale? Or is it just, you know, just life? You make choices. Those choices have consequences, good and bad, and you end up where you end up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot to think about, isn't it? I think when you're in it, you can't see beyond that magicalness at all. But then with retrospect, I'm able to look back at all the coincidences and the amazing light bulb moments that I've had in romances in particular, that have led me to different places. But then, you know, when they don't work out and you realize how not suited you are, I mean, I often look at relationships that have started in high school and I think, how the hell did you manage to carry on together? But clearly they just found that magical mixture of liking each other, fancying each other, finding each other suitable to live with and be with day to day.
Well, I mean, that's ultimately what all of us...
Maybe it's being being more realistic as well may have helped them. Whereas I've never been very realistic.
No, because when you fall in love, you want that feeling to last forever. And especially if there's some kind of magical thinking romance story behind it, you feel like that is going to last your whole life. And, you know, I certainly had a relationship where a lot of bizarre coincidences came together for me to end up with him. And, you know, we were so in love and we were giddy for months, but the shine comes off and then you realize, what the hell have I done? And it's, you know, it is that sort of a hitting reality and, you know, coming back down to earth with a bump and a really bad bump in my situation because, we were not compatible at all. We had just been so high on feeling of love. So I mean, I think this whole false promise synchronicity, it, like I said, it's kind of a dodgy theory, but I really connect with it because I think I have experienced joining the dots which are not, shouldn't necessarily have been joined. And actually I did read a story.
That's how you end up in cults,
with Keith Raniere as your boyfriend. Jesus. No, thanks. But there was this story I read and it's titled Mr. Fox. And it starts off that there was this string of fox coincidences which accelerated this intense relationship that this woman, Amelia, had had. And it started off that she had this feeling that this man across the room.
Was it Amelia Fox?
Amelia Fox. No, it's A with a Amelia, not Amelia. Okay. And we've already had, we've already had Fox, Langley Fox. We've had a discussion. This is all Fox, Fox, Fox.
Foxy episode.
I know. My God, it must be, it was meant to be, Geordie.
Meant to be.
So this woman, Amelia, she had seen this guy across the room and she was like, I have this feeling he wants to meet me. So she said she boldly crossed the room to start a conversation with him. And after a brief conversation, she gave him her card, hoping he'd call. He didn't. Then her house burned down and she had an invitation. Like a friend said, look, come and stay with me. Dude that she like had this feeling about was there and he helped her through the loss and, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. And they became like romantically involved. But she was suspicious of him and didn't think that he was sort of monogamous. And because of his wily ways, she called him Mr. Fox, right? Mm-hmm. And, after that, she had 7 fox sightings randomly. So she was like connecting the dots between calling him Mr. Fox and seeing all these foxes. Then when she moved into her new house, because her house had burnt down, a fox came to the house and basically was there all the time.
Shut on the floor. <in there.
laughs> And then... And then there was some coincidence of some woman that they both knew wearing a fox fur. Gross. And anyway,
Who does that?
But there were all of these like fox coincidences. And this woman, Amelia, really wanted to believe that this relationship was meant to be because of all of this stuff. But it wasn't. Yeah. And
No, it wasn't.
And she wrote some book about it, which, I mean, I hope it's better than that story because that was pretty crap. But anyway.
So anyone looking to read Mr. Fox maybe won't after hearing your little
rundown. It wasn't the best. Sorry, guys. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's, look, everyone tries to connect the dots with things in their life because, like I said at the beginning, this kind of thing is trying to make, you know, like reality out of chaos. Like you're trying to sort of, put all the pieces together and sometimes I think, you can't make order out of chaos, not reality, but you're trying to make order out of chaos and sometimes you just can't. Sometimes shit is random. And that's it.
Amazing, Michelle. Thank you. That's incredible.
So there you go. That's my potluck story and our potluck party.
I loved that, Michelle. Potluck party. I can't do a ditty for that.
No. You're all dittied out.
For now.
You went ditty crazy.
But guys, I went ditty crazy. And thanks to Anna Graziano for suggesting the one about... the Aussie slang. We did that one.
And so thank you for your great stories. I love this potluck. We'll have to have another potluck party.
We'll do another potluck party. Let us know what you think. And also, guys, you know, you can tell us your stories. You're the ones with the best stories.
True. And if you have any kind of potluck story you want us to cover, it doesn't even have to fit into a theme. We'll do a potluck.
Just send us in. Send it in at hello@eavesdroppingpodcast.com.
Yes. We'd love, that's right, we'd love a plate from you. We'd love you to bring a plate.
Bring us a plate of fairy bread, or bring us a plate. Or what's a savoury dish under glad wrap with that they would bring?
Oh, sausage rolls.
What would they bring?
Sausage rolls, but the little mini ones, the little mini bites.
Mini sausage rolls. What did my nana call them and my dad? Little boys.
Oh, yes, the little boys.
A plate of little boys. Darling Michelle, it was so good to see your lovely face and have a chit-chat.
Absolutely. And until then, keep on
eavesdropping. Eavesdropping.